Now, any question? Now. Can a Muslim be a slave? You mean a slave for other than Allah?
No.
No. Except if he is a child of someone who been arrested in a state of kufr, and then this father embraced Islam and got married to another female slave, and he got this child, and this child becomes a slave, although he's Muslim. But other than that, no. Muslims cannot attack a Muslim land and take from them slaves. This is not allowed. Understand? If it is proved, then he is a slave. Because as you said, the slavery can only be from fighting against the kuffar and arresting some of them as war prisoners, and then they become slaves. If these ones converted to Islam, then the children become slave Muslims up until they are free. But now, for example, if there is grandson of a slave who is still under slavery, but is given freedom, then his children never can be considered slaves. And when the female slave enjoyed by her master, and she gives birth of a baby, this birth will free her automatically, because her son is not a slave, because he is the son of the free one who owns it. So this son will give us the freedom. No more questions?
Inshallah, quite big again.
No marry. In Islam, the man can marry up to 4 wives. Okay? But he can enjoy female slaves unlimited number. Because this is not marriage. A free man cannot marry a slave. If he owns a slave, a female slave, and he wants to marry her as marriage, then he frees her, he says you are free, and then he marries her. But he cannot marry her when she is still in the state of slave, because she is his wife. How come his wife and a slave at the same time? The slave has duties, and the wife has duty. You cannot have one woman as a slave and wife at the same time. No. No. It cannot be like that. No. I could not get the point. Alternative to what? Yes. To this person?
Yes, because there's
been benefit. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. الصادقين here, Allah Ta'ala says, all you believers, fear Allah and be with the honest ones. The honest ones is those who are honest in their belief, honest in their methodology, in their manhaj, and how to perform the deen upon the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the people of innovation are not considered to be from amongst the honest believers. Honest believers, because they are inserting their desire, their innovation into the deen. And that's why their worship are rejected and their repentance is not accepted until they leave this innovation. Yeah? So the person must choose who he seek the knowledge with. It's not anybody has knowledge. Yeah. It's not like that. It's, as you said before, anybody has the criteria of the alim, meaning he fears Allah and he is upon the way of Rasulullah. That is the alim you seek knowledge from, because as يعني, Hassan al-Basri or Muhammad ibn Sirin said, we used to expect narrations from anyone, but now, no, you have to name the narrators you have, because we want to see who is honest, who is not. Now, but you need to raise your voice, I can't hear one. Takfir? Takfir. Back to the first question you mentioned, brother. You said, if the person is living amongst the community where people are teaching takfir, can he still remain there and teach and call people to the sunnah? Is this the question?
Yeah, but that's not just the message. It's okay for him to go to one Salafi masjid.
There is one Salafi masjid? There is no Salafi masjid. I say, even if there is thousands of Salafi masjid and there is one non-Salafi masjid, we still need to go there with a condition that we are going to teach the truth, the haqq. First. Second, we people. And if these people are on takfir, when I come to this masjid, I don't speak about wudu. Because they speak about wudu, they have no problem with wudu. So when I come there and speak with about the thing that we all agree upon, then what kind of advantage I get to the people? What kind of advantage I get to the people? But I come and I agree and I bring the adillah, the evidences that this is wrong. With this condition, yes. But just going to the masjid of the Ahlul Bidah, for example, we have a masjid where they do grave worshipping. And I go there and speak about anything else other than the ruling of grave worshipping. This is the misguidance to the people. Because you are a Salafi person, a Salafi da'i, coming to this place, the awam will say, okay, Ahwan, why you are saying this masjid is not good? See this Salafi alim, Salafi sheikh, Salafi student knowledge? He came here and gave a talk, he did not say nothing about this. Now this is haram. If you come to this masjid, and I don't mean come to the masjid, harshly criticize them and speak about the imam. La. But you come, speak the truth. Bring the evidences from the Quran and Sunnah and the statements of the Salaf about the concept of worship. And how people should worship and who should they worship. And the deviations of worship amongst all, like that. If we speak about khuruj or takfir, we address it well. Yani we don't come to the masjid where people are making certain, for example, you come to a community where riba is commonly used. You ignore this and you speak about what worship they do. They come to the masjid and you start speaking about the akhwan. It is important to come to the masjid and pray in the masjid. Okay, this is not their problem. You are the da'i. You need to know what. This is yesterday we had a talk and we mentioned this. We said this is the meaning of the saying of Allah in Surah Yusuf: "Ad'u ila Allah ala basira." This is the basira. Basira is to know what problems these people have and to know how to approach it nicely or in any way to bring them to the haqq. It's not to fight with them, it's not to criticize them, but your main aim is to bring them to the haqq. That's your goal, that's your target. I want to bring these people to the haqq. You do all your best to bring them to the haqq. Now, as for the second question, those who speak ill of the ulama, we just mentioned that, we were talking about this maybe before you come, and we said the only way to gain the love of Allah and His Messenger, as the talk is about today, not the only one, one of the main ways, and after you single out Allah in worship, after you practice the deen upon knowledge, then you will have to love the people of knowledge. You will have to. Otherwise, you are setting up an enmity with Allah. Allah will declare war against you. Now, as in the hadith of Abu Huraira, hadith al-Walaya, من عاد لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. And we define the wali, who is the wali? The wali is the alim, the wali is the one who fears Allah. Allah Ta'ala told us who fears him the most. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الْعُلَمَى. So it's a series of understandings leads to the proper way. As for those who speak evil against the ulama, these people are not fearing Allah. But there is a difference between speaking evil about the alim and speaking about the statement made by the alim. Because on the other hand, some people believe that whatever my sheikh says, it's fine, different, خلاص. La akhi. Revelation has stopped by the desist of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa passed away. When he sallallahu alayhi wa passed away, Jibreel stopped coming to anybody. Now, some people, somebody say, okay, the sheikh said so and so. Then you tell him, okay, but the other sheikh said, I'm telling you, sheikh said so and so, my sheikh. You put it for the statement of sheikh so and so, ajeeb. Like, why the ijtihad of your sheikh must be more popular than and more right than the ijtihad of the other sheikh? Why? But if the person is speaking evil about the sheikh himself, then this is the indicator of evilness and misguidance. But if the speech is only about a statement made or a ruling, a judgment made, you cannot see that this person is not Salafi or not Abu Sunnah, or this is not correct. This is also another problem. There's another problem. But we have to respect the ulama. We have to respect the ulama. Whether we agree with their statement or we don't. As long as I know that he's an alim, fears Allah, the like of the sheikh that you mentioned, who is well known, that is somebody spent all of his life defending the sunnah, Sheikh Rabi ibn Adi al-Madkhali, and the like of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, Sheikh Abayd al-Jabri, Sheikh Abd al-Muhsin al-Abbad, many list of mashayikh, yeah, Sheikh Albani, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, they all defend the sunnah and protect the aqeedah, and they spend all their time and wealth and even health just for that. Now, so now when we come to speaking evenly about the alim, then this is yani a great, great sin, and it is an indicator of that this person is starting getting out of the track of sunnah. But when we speak about the mistake of alim, we have to differentiate between the mistake of the alim or the statement that we think is a mistake, or some other alim say that this is non-proper statement or judgment. We are not making any a major sin, because the only, as Imam Malik said, كل يأخذ من قولي ويرد إلا صاحب هذا القول. Everyone, his statement can be accepted or refuted, except the one of who is buried in this grave, who is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني even Abu Bakr and Umar, when Ibn Abbas was telling the people that you have to do only Hajj Tamattu, people were saying to him, but Abu Bakr and Umar used to permit the Hajj Ifrad. Now Ibn Abbas does not respect Abu Bakr and Umar. Nobody can say that. He said, يوشك أن تنزل عليكم حجارة من السماء. أقول قال الله. أقول قال رسول الله. تقولون قال أبو بكر وعمر. I say, Messenger of Allah said. And you say, Abu Bakr and Umar said. That's different. That's different. Now, so when we come to the statement of an alim, which is based on ijtihad, then we say that if this person is saying that this ijtihad is khatir, is wrong, if he is saying that based on knowledge, or he says that, oh, Sheikh so-and-so said this ijtihad is not correct, is not proper, is wrong, then how come we suspect him and criticize him and accuse him or accuse him about that he is not Abu Sunnah? That's not correct. No? So, and we have also to differentiate between even judging the statement of an alim as a judgment of a statement, or a judgment used to justify the criticism against the alim. Some people may use a statement that other alim said, this is wrong judgment or statement or like that, but he is not using it as a statement. He is using it as an excuse to criticize the alim. Criticize the alim himself. He wants to say that this alim knows nothing. This alim is jahil. This alim is this. Say, akhi, fear Allah. And look to what you say. Watch what you say. Now, but we want to understand the situation properly. And we have to be balanced. And my advice to anybody who has no knowledge, not to get into this, fields. Seek the knowledge first of all. Seek the knowledge. And stay away from thousands of people who are saying so and so. Seek the knowledge on a proper way. Seek the knowledge on a proper way. Yani, go gradually. And we've been saying this on the hour last week. There is a big, big problem today with people seeking knowledge. He is a river, or he is a new practicer. And mashallah, he loves Sheikh, for example, Sheikh Abdul Mahsin Abbad, or Sheikh. What Sheikh Abdul Mahsin teaches? Al Bukhari. But he looks at Al Bukhari and go, okay, this is way above your level. You cannot understand. This is not proper way. You have first of all to go learn Ajramiya, learn Usul Jalaza, learn Usul Fiqh, and the basics, the principles. So you can come to these classes and understand. Now, but they want to jump. They want to jump. Now, Allahu A'lam. As-salam. Right. We'll take one or two other questions, inshallah, after salah. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وما بعد. I would like just to elaborate a little bit about the question before Salah. Sometimes people may say something that they don't. They say something about, they say, they speak evil about something or somebody they didn't. They don't know. And I give you an example of that. Many people say that Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the Imam, has came up with a new madhab, and they consider him yani, somebody who split the Ummah and this, and yani, lots of this nonsense. Sheikh Abdullah Al Qara'awi, the Sheikh of Hafiz Hakam, rahimahullah, used to travel to India for collecting ahadith, because the muhaddithin are many in India. So he used to travel all the way to India to listen to the hadith from the muhaddithin. One of his shuyukh was the senior alim of hadith there in India. Talk of his or Jum'ah khutbah, finding his sheikh speaking very badly about Muhammad Abdul Wahhab. He said, I must do something. Now, look to the, I mean, look to the intelligence of the person who wants the goodness to the people and also the reward for himself. It's not a matter of, I will just revenge and I will, put them down. Or, it's a matter of that these people are misguided when they say so. They are misguided. Let me now, try to bring them, or at least, put the Hujjah of Allah forth before them. He wrote Kitab al-Tawheed and took off the cover where it says the author is Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, and he came to the Sheikh. He said, yes, Sheikh, I found this book, but I'm afraid to read it before you command it for me. Can you please read it? So if it is good, I will read it. If not, I will He said, okay, leave it and come back to me after so and so. And he told him a number of days. He came back. The Sheikh said, this is a very wonderful book. This is what we call people too. This is all based on Allah said, the Messenger said. He then said, yes, Sheikh, this is the book of Muhammad al-Jabbar. He said, no, 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 impossible. He said, okay. This is another one with the cover page. That Sheikh, on the next occasion, he gave a ceremony and he praised Muhammad al-Jabbar and he apologized. He said, we were told something false, wrong about Muhammad al-Jabbar. Why he said what he said earlier? Because of what been conveyed to her. Possibly. Now, these people might have heard from one side about Sheikh Rabi or Sheikh Ubaid or whatever. Now, what is your duty? One day I came to sit with some young youth and we were on a meal, a dinner. I don't know them very well, so I have a habit when I approach people, I don't know them, I mention some names of my shiur to see what reaction they have. So I can then know how to deal with them. I don't do that to take a position of be with them or work at them. No, I'm not like this. I first of all analyze them, see what they are. If they don't, if they show no respect to this ulama, then I start giving them da'wah on that, based on that. Anyway, sat on the meal, and I brought up a fiqh issue, intentionally. Right? It is reciting the Fatiha after or in the loud recitation prayers. So these people said no, we should not recite while the Imam is reciting loudly because Sheikh Al-Bani said so. I said immediately, and I intentionally said that and prepared for it. I said, Wallahi, Yahi, I asked Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, and immediately one of them said, A'udhu Billah, and he left. The others show some kind of dislikeness. So I said, okay, from here I know now. I'll go from here. That man is completely brainwashed, so he's not going to listen to me. Whatever I say. Then I got a tape from Sheikh Muhammad Aman, one of his lectures, and I said to those who showed this likeness but did not say nothing, I said, to one of them, ask him, here's a tape. I want you to listen to it. He said, for whom? I said, and I want to see if you know the voices of the ulama. Just listen and then tell me who is this alim. He got the tape, and the next day we met. I said, okay, did you listen to the tape? He said, yeah. He said, did you recognize the alim? He said, no, who was he? He said, well, I was the tape. He said, mashallah. The lecture was very beneficial. He said, this is Muhammad Amar al-Jami. Really? He said, yeah, wallahi. He said, can you give me more about this? More lectures and things? He said, yeah, why not? I'll give him. Then he, mashallah, I said, subhanAllah, what was said to us is totally wrong. I said, okay, now, this is your duty now. Can you convey this to them? He said, don't worry, leave it for me. Alhamdulillah, most of them, almost except for that one particular guy, all of them, alhamdulillah, became يعني Salafis and they loved the ulama. That one, he is ignorant in a way. He is not studying knowledge with nobody. And it is based on ignorance, nothing else. And the ignorance, you cannot convince, the ignorant person, you cannot convince. Whatsoever you do, he goes, as Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, ما نظرت عالما إلا غلبت وما نظرني جاهلا إلا غلبت. Imam Shafi'i says, I've never debated عالم except I won the debate. But I never jahil debates me except that he won. Why? Because the jahil, you come right, you go left. You go left, you go right. He doesn't have principles. Yeah? So I say, if you say like these people, it is wrong to come and approach them, no, but my sheikh, no, but your sheikh, especially when you both are on the Salafi platform or ground. Now, approach them in a way that you feel sorry that they are going astray, and you want to bring them. Not in a way you are chasing a snake away. Now, you approach them in a way of dragging a deer towards you to own it. Not chasing a snake away to get rid of it. No? This is how we need to deal with this, wallahu a'lam. Here is a question, let them say, if you are going for khulwa and you know your husband, excuse me for this, the English way of comprehension is very poor to me. To the Arabs. We don't say, the woman should not say you. She should say, if a woman. Now she's saying, I'm reading it, and you know your husband. No, I have no husband, alhamdulillah. I have only one wife. I have no husband. Could get angry physically, What advice can you give the sister? Wallahi, first of all, can she ask the husband to leave the house? I didn't understand. She says that if you are going for khul', if you are going, that means that the khul' hasn't been yet given. So, he is still your husband. He is still your husband. Khul hasn't been given. So how come you leave the house? Why? What for you leave the house? But if the khul is given already, yes, of course he has to leave the house. Now, but bearing in mind that the house is yours. Not as the Western way. The house is his, but because he gave you khul or gave you talaq, he has to leave the house for you. Now we say, no, this is not in Islam. Unless it is written condition in the contract. If that was a condition written in the contract that whenever we separate by khul or divorce or fasq, then the house is mine, that's a different thing. But other than that, no. Allah. How do you explain to people not to disrespect scholars due to difference of opinion? Well, I think I've addressed this and I gave examples. How do you deal with difference of opinions? It depends if you are talib al-ilm, or you are alim, or you are jahil. Everyone has level of how to deal with these things. The jahil, the common Muslim, who has no ilm, should do ijtihad based on ulama. For example, he says, I think that Sheikh Ibn Baz, for example, is yani, the alim that I should take from him. He's pious, he's yani, knowledgeable. He's, say, okay, khalas, you take from him. He's his guy. But you don't keep jumping based on what you like and this, and you don't like. Yani today, Ibn Baz says that, for example, what else? Yeah, the Sheikh Ibn Baz said that women can wear gold, whatsoever, yani, the shape of gold. Now, of course, other than yani, images. I mean, if it is a ring or whatever. And you like it from, because Sheikh Albani says it is not permissible. But tomorrow, I mean, I'm taking this as an example from the system, because the Christian term. Tomorrow you find that Sheikh Albani, you find about the face cover, Sheikh Ibn Baz says it is wajib to cover the face. But Sheikh Albani says it is not wajib, so I'll take the fatwa of Sheikh Albani. Say, no, this is not correct. This is not correct. If you are jahil, you take a alim and you take the opinion yani, that he takes. Now, if you base this on what? On that this alim is the pious, is the more pious and more knowledgeable to you, and you take from him. But if it is based on Allah, hawa, desire, that's a problem. You will keep jumping from this alim to that alim, and you will have no obligation, because you will find every alim has something, you know. So if you keep just for the excuses and permissions of every alim, then you will. And some ulama say salatul jama'ah for men in the masjid is not obligatory. So this man will say, khalas, I will take this opinion, because it's alim who said, they say, no, this is wrong. You have to select one alim to take, and it is not ta'assub. Whenever the other alim provides you the dalil, that's a different thing. Yeah? Can you repeat what you said about the brother and Sheikh Ibn Baz? The brother and Sheikh Ibn Baz. What brother? I forgot. What brother and Sheikh Ibn Baz? Maybe the brother who said the Sheikh Ibn Baz kafir. This the brother. Yeah, the brother who said Sheikh Ibn Baz kafir. Yeah, I said that this brother yani, was influenced by two individuals well known in the West, Faisal Abdullah and Umar Abdul Rahman, and he considered that the ulama are kuffar and like that, the like of Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Uthaymeen. And when I said why Ibn Baz is kafir, he said because they prepared the fatwa as yani, the ruler like. And they are paying for it. I said, this is false. This is not correct. And I gave many evidences of the statements of Sheikh Ibn Baz that is not as what the ruler say. Yani, opposite of it. And I gave examples of the dance and the TV and radio and these things. And he said, we advise them, this is not permissible. What else you want them to do? No. What would someone do in a case where their own family were anti-scholars? Can you? The problem, Yaquan, I don't think that yani, a Muslim, is going to be anti-scholar. But the problem is, how you present the statement of the scholars. Some people yani, approach the awam, especially the old people, in a way of yani, offending them. And he's showing them that you guys are nothing, you guys are johal. No. you should approach them. I tell you something. Al-Hasan and Al-Hussein, the sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were raised in the, along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they absorbed a lot of the hikmah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling people and approaching them. One day they saw an old man performing wudu wrongly. They talked to each other, how can we advise him? We are young. How can we advise him? And they found him. Said, okay, let's go to him. They said, Ya Sheikh, me and my brother are having a conflict on the way of performing wudu. I say my way is right, and he says his way is right. I say, okay, every one of you show me his way. They both performed so in front of him. He said, thank you. JazakAllah khair. The message has reached. Because he saw no difference. He saw no difference in their way of performing wudu. He understood that it is me who's wrong. See the hikmah. See the hikmah. But lots of the youths, they know something today and they go, this is the right. This is not the correct way. Especially father, mother, uncle, you approach them nicely. Look to Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he approached his father, who wasn't somebody who against this or he was somebody who used to make the idols and give them to the people to worship, and he himself worshipped them all. Yeah? But Ibrahim was telling him, Ya Abati. The scholar said there was no much softer word when calling father than this. Otherwise Ibrahim would have used it. If there was a word that can be more soft in calling father than this, Ibrahim would have used it. Why? Because he wants to bring his father to the Haqq. Now, that's what we should be. Would cutting off from your own family not fall into breaking kinship? Of course, cutting off from family is considered to be qat al-rahim. Is considered to be breaking the kinship. Even though great effort has been made in doing da'wah to the own family. Ya akhi. Allah Azza wa Jal yaqul فَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرَكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. So Allah Ta'ala is commanding you. He says, when your parents who are mushrikeen, kuffar, call you to join them any worships, then don't obey them. But this does not mean that you disrespect them. صَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And that verse which not relates to the religion, you have to be nice and good to them. You have to be nice and good to them. That if they are mushrikeen, what if they are Muslimin and they are mistaken? You have to be just in what you do. Is it possible for a sister to travel with her brother who is not Muslim to a Muslim country to seek knowledge? Example, to just know her, just deliver, leave her there and he goes. Fine. First of all, the mahram is only required on the journey. From this town to this town. If he leaves her there without a mahram, it does not make a problem. Many people think that, for example, a mahram going with his woman to Hajj, he must perform Hajj with her. No, we say no, this is not correct. If he takes her until Mecca, and he returns back, or he stays in Mecca, and she goes and continues the Hajj, that's correct. Because the mahram is only on the cover, on the safar. Now, the kufr, the disbelief, does not remove the mahramiyya. Disbelief removes the walaya. Yani, the relative who is kafir, father or brother, cannot be wali for marriage. But he is mahram. Why? Because it is haram for them both to marry. That is the meaning of mahram. Yani, this man is muharram. It's forbidden for him to marry this woman. Now, so the brother who is kafir still can be a mahram on top of it. No problem with that. The brother, the father, the uncle, the nephew, now, the son who is kafir, still be considered a mahram. But in the term of walaya, meaning who process the marriage, then this kind of people, even if he is a father, if he is kafir, he cannot act as a wali for marriage. We have to differentiate between these two things. Now, why? Somebody may ask, what is the difference? Say, no, there is a difference. If the kafir sister is with him, and someone abuses her, he would not accept that. Even if he is kafir, still he doesn't accept. Now, but when he comes to act as a wali for marriage, he's not going to look for the pious one. And the wali is told, and is assigned and told, is assigned to choose the best husband based on iman. He is kafir. How is he going to evaluate the iman? How is he going to evaluate who is Abu Sunnah, who is not? Now? Who's going to evaluate Abu Sunnah, who's Abu Sunnah, who's not? If he is kafir, how can he? Someone who is Christian, can he know? And he has a daughter who is Muslim, and she's mashallah Salafi practicer. And there was a Muslim came and asked me to marry this girl. How can this man know that this one is Abu the right belief, Atiqad, Abu the right manhaj or not? He's kafir, he doesn't know Islam at all. He doesn't know Islam at all. You know? That's why we say, the wali must be Muslim. But the mahram can be kafir, no problem. No, wallahu a'lam. Huh? Good. This is a question, but it is too long. You mentioned that we should not condemn the awliyaullah. I have here my brother on his mobile talking to many of his friends condemning Croydon ICP and the awliya here. I have addressed him that this behavior from him and the brothers is going to is against the Sunnah, as they are breaking a community as well as breaking the imams of Croydon ICT. But anyway, the conclusion of it, is that this brother is speaking even about Croydon ICT. Of course, it's not the ICT, the people in the ICT. I say this is wrong. This is wrong. If you have any religious mistakes, you should come and obviously advise them. Not necessarily face to face, write it, or to someone who has an effect with them, you know, like that. But to keep surrendering and talking here and there, ICT, have this, Brixton has this, Ghuraba has this is not good. This brings no benefit and no advantage at all. So the best way is to approach the people, and if it is a mistake in religion, you have to approach them with the adilla and say this. If they accept, alhamdulillah. If they don't accept, you do not sit in the middle. And we have to differentiate between that. We have to know what are the principles of Islam. So if the person exceeds them, or the boundary exceeds them, then he's out of Islam. He's kafir. What are the boundaries of Sunnah? That if the person exceeds them, and he's out of Sunnah, he's a bid'ah, but yet he's not kafir. What are the boundaries of Salafiyya? That if he is exceeding Salafiyya, he is still a Muslim. He's not kafir. He has rights, still has rights. So we have to know these things. The problem is, we sit ourselves as judge before we know nothing about the law of judgment. That's the problem. So we have to understand this very well as well. We have to understand this very well. It's not because we have different opinions, then I must be a Salafi, he must be not Salafi. This is wrong, therefore. This is wrong. And this caused damage and a defect to the community. It caused a major and severe damage to the community. And you guys living in the West, you are not in need for any damages. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The damage is from the heavens to the earth. And you are not in need for that. You have more than enough to get busy with in correcting these violations and deviations and problems than to create another new problem. And Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِذْنِ وَالْعُدْوَى. And cooperate on the good and taqwa, which is the piety and fearing Allah Ta'ala. And do not cooperate on the sin and aggression. Yeah? So we have to understand this very well in order to convey the advice we think Allah Ta'ala will reward us for. And we have, as I said many times, we have to be the good hunters. When we go hunt deer. Now, the person who go hunt a deer needs no noise. Not at all, because once the deer hears any noise, it will escape. Run away. And definitely you cannot chase the deer. Definitely. Unless if you are a jaguar or even a tiger cannot. It must be a jaguar. And the jaguar is the only animal that can catch the deer. So, you have to be clever. We are here temporarily. We are not living here forever. We are here temporarily. We don't know when we die. So let's earn the most of hasanat we can. The most of hasanat we can. Save them for the day of resurrection. Wallahi, once we die, you have no way to earn hasanat except if you left ilm behind as your alim, or sadaqa jariya, or a child who going to be pious and make the offering. So please, let's work on bringing the brotherhood rather than we spread the hatred and enmity between the Muslims. أسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يوفقنا جميعا للحب فيه وأن يجعلنا وإياكم ممن يستظلون بظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله، وأن يجعل اجتماعنا دائما اجتماعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، وأن لا يجعل معنا ولا منا شقيا ولا محروما، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه، والله أعلم. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.